You know anybody that's an addict? An addict, alcoholic, drug addict, gambling addict. You ever see an addict? You ever see them shake? You ever see them frantic? You ever see them do things they would never do with their body, with lying, with whatever it may be? An addict is literally destroying themselves. They are killing themselves. They are, well, they're in need of a great intervention. Addicts are destroying themselves. If you understand the idea that an addict, in all that they do, brings destruction to their own life, and that they may need outside help, let me say that's how I see the political scene in the United States of America. I see the political scene in the United States of America as addicted to self, addicted to the personal ideologies, globalist ideologies, call it so, all the other things you can talk about, but maybe they don't know the spirit behind the confusion, the spirit behind what is trying to grasp the power of the United States and lead it down a trail to susceptibility, to the coming globalism. I don't know if you see the battle. I don't know if you're mad enough yet. I don't know if you're angry enough yet. But listen, I'm going to give you some reasons today why I believe we need to fight like never before for America. Fight for America. I'm going to give you about six reasons why, because I see America being destroyed, destroying itself, and I see politicians. I see liars. I see perverts. I see globalists. I see those that promote policies that would destroy babies in the womb. I see those who would spit in the face of God. I see those who would lead the United States of America in slamming the door on the face of God and opening the door to, well, a spiritual confusion, a counterfeit, a alternative that will eventually bring destruction. It always does. Listen, the development of Nazi ideology came from spiritual inspiration in the midst of a nation that was hurting, that was in pain, that was in confusion, that wanted to change everything. Change is good if needed, if the change moves us in the right direction. See, our own lives, we can come before God. I've seen God totally change alcoholics, drug addicts, gambling addicts. I have seen God transform lives and make bad people good. Evil people good. Because there's a power wielded at the cross, obvious, and God has done something, well, incredible there. And I believe that he cares about the nations. So if you're listening tonight, remember Psalm 2, God's warning to the peoples of the earth, that's all of us, to the nations, one by one, and to the kings of the earth. And that would be Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, all the rest of them here in the United States. Listen, my friends, wherever you are listening from, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Listen, we're glad to have you tonight, but we're enraged. We're ready to fight. We're going to fight with every single spiritual weapon that we know, because America is being led down a door that brings destruction. You can't just sit back. You can't just watch it happen. You can't just look from afar. I mean, Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. Nineveh had become decadent, become one of those addicts of the flesh, the world, of demon worship that was destroying itself, utterly destroying itself. So the question is now whether we are going to, you know, sit back. What is it, 100 million Christians going to sit back? Where are you know, we want to ask the question, where is the focused and intense prayer? I believe that the battle yesterday over this health bill and over all that was done and all the protest and all, well, all the lying and cheating and behind-the-scenes briberies, there's another agenda, deeper, broader, and wider than just this health bill. And it's not just the health bill. It is the disposition. It's the lie. It's the claim to know God and yet spit in God's face. It's the leading of a nation in one direction or another. So this week, we're doing a series, four nights, Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, 6 p.m. right here. Tuesday night, 7 p.m., survivetothrive.net. Title of this week, my friends, is America, Home of the Free or Home of the Damned? This is really going to be somewhat of a State of the Union address from, this man that cares about the United States because God cares about nations. And I'm going to go over those reasons tonight. I did them in a live talk show last night, but I'm going to give some quick definition, give some urgency to all those who are believers in Christ concerning the focused prayers, the focused evangelism, and the care of a nation. The idea of confronting politicians, confronting them in the name of the God of heaven concerning their decadent, there's decadence there. That decadence is and perversion right there among senators. We need to deal with the lies. We need to deal with the doors to socialism that always, literally is the platform for the just beneath the dark waters globalism. Well, we know who's at the bottom of that ugly sea rising. So tonight, Monday night, 1 hour that we have in just simply being guided by the Spirit of God in this hour of providence. For each and every one of you that listen, thank you. And if you've come along this live radio show or the archives, want to say that it may be by the providence of God. So stick around, because I always tell folks this. I know three things for absolute sure. God loves you. God knows you backwards and forwards. And God wants you. I would say to Barack Obama to repent, to get your life right before God if you're going to lead a nation and open the doors for the home of the free. I would say to Nancy Pelosi, to senators, to even governors and mayors, that it's time to repent. It's time to get your lives right. It's time to quit playing in this field of political ideologies that are churning and battling, and you don't even see the real battle that's going on. There is a spiritual conquest for the United States. A lot of us can look back to the 60s and see the breaking in of the second largest proliferation of occult literature, of massive occultism, cults, a new and broad wave of spiritual dynamics, dark spiritual dynamics, deep influences, drugs that would open the door to all that dark spiritual encounter, the development of spiritual alternatives and movements and experiences and events, that has literally soaked our land and the doors to demons, whether direct and dark or masqueraded in a satanic light. They are here by the hundreds of millions. They're operative, that's for sure. And if we believe the word of God and you look into future prophecy, let's back up a little bit and see the precursors as they are gripping the United States right now, as they are gripping, even the world. So whether Canada, Australia, the UK, Europe, even those of you in China and Russia, listen, as a believer in Christ, I still have freedom right now to speak today, to go out onto the streets and witness and share Christ, to go door to door, to hold church. Like last Sunday, I went to church and I sat with my wife and I sat next to a friend I hadn't seen in some time, who had gotten saved 35 years ago, the same week that I did. It was a great day yesterday, really. Just a blessed day. The weather was beautiful. I was out into the woods, doing my thing for 5 miles. I was really gripped by the hand of God concerning America. Concerning America, where most of you listening right now live. And those that bring down the archives, it's where you live. Most of you live here. And God has a purpose for nations. And nations can either be home of the free or home of the damned. The doors could be opened to God, and a nation could be led to yield itself to God. Or it can be led to shut the doors in the face of God. And in my opinion, what I saw yesterday was a spitting in the face of God. Well, I've seen this since January. It's an unbelievable thing that one person can claim one thing and then demonstrate nothing. No honor for God, no National Day of Prayer with God, no demonstration of wanting the doors to this nation wide open to the God of heaven. We don't need the gods of the East, the demon gods. We don't need the demon gods of the New Age. We don't need the Luciferic presence that has grown in, doubled, tripled, quadrupled. We don't need the satanic rituals that have been underground now for five, six decades. If you feel the darkness encroaching, realize that behind that feeling, behind that presence are the real entities, and they have gathered closer than ever, ever before. Has anybody ever read the book The Dust of Death by Oz Guinness? The Dust of Death. I recommend it. Older book. In the book, Oz Guinness tells about the story of a safari where the team goes deep, deep, deep down into the jungle. Late at night, it's dark, pitch dark. Can't even see your hand in front of your face, but they build great big fires. And all those on the safari are gathered around. The fires, you know, are 10 feet high, and it's bright, and it's warm, and it's just safe. But as everybody begins to go to sleep, everybody gets weary, everybody gets sleepy, everybody gets passive, and there's a dozing off. Nobody's attending to the fires. And little by little, the great fires begin to wane. They begin to go down till finally they're just 4 foot high, 3 foot high, 1 foot high, and barely 6 inches high. As the fires go down, the darkness encroaches. Oz Guinness tells a story on a safari like this, that as the fires go down that low, they begin to look all around them. And all of a sudden, they begin to see the eyes. The eyes. The encircling eyes. The wild animals and the beasts, no longer afraid because the fires have waned down to just about 6 inches high. They have come closer and closer and closer and closer to the people there among the safari. And the people can look and see the eyes, the encircling eyes, drawing in. Oz Guinness says this is what it's like in the West. As the fires of real Christendom, of real Book of Acts Christendom, has waned down to 5 feet, 4 feet, 3 feet, 1 foot, 6 inches. Darkness encroaches, and the eyes that hide in that darkness, well, they're here. They want the politicians. They want the power. They want the military. They want the system for the sake of the future, and it is truly a battle. You and I can sit back and do nothing. We can aid and abet the damnation of America by simply being silent and doing nothing and just saving some food for ourselves in a cellar somewhere, thinking that we might last six extra months. As if that's good enough for the believer in Christ. Back to the body of the message in a few moments here. Again, if you're brand new, this voice Rust is dark. Listen, www.shatterthedarkness.net. There you're going to find a brand new series we're putting up. We got about five MP3s up already. It's all free. Called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. I'm going to tell you right now, in all of our understanding, and I think once you begin to listen to them, you can understand that spiritual influence brings political ideology, political perspective, political law, political vision. Even the vision for a nation is inspired spiritually, guided spiritually. Spiritual inspiration leads to political ideology, vision, and even military developments to enforce what kind of change. This change includes slamming the door in the face of God and opening it to a new age of dark spirits masqueraded in a Luciferic light. Is that what it's all about? Is voodoo being done in the White House? In the UN, do they practice convergence to draw spirits? Do they do the Luciferic invocation? You see, it's all a secret power of lawlessness developing. And if you see that coming before the big strike, if you see the beast from a distance, you can better prepare. You can bring the warning. You can save lives. So let me tell you something right now. There is no room in my heart, no room in my life for you and I who are believers in the living Christ to sit back and just watch, to sit back and just say, you know what? I don't care about America. It's decadent. It's bad. It's this. It's that. And literally give the nation to the dogs. You willing to do that? You willing to give the nation to the dogs? You willing to let the dogs of hell begin to manifest in policy, in law? Are you willing to allow the encroachment of an anti-Christ spirit, a critical mass? Are you willing to let the suppression of the truth of the gospel grow stronger and broader? Are you willing to have your freedoms taken away? In the land of the free, where we can do what we're doing right now, and I can go out and share Jesus at the local restaurant, where I can pray on a Sunday morning, where I can say here that I oppose the President of the United States and pray and ask him to repent, along with many other politicians. And I believe it's going to take that kind of a fury of the flames of freedom that will guide millions of Americans who love God and want this nation to love God and want this nation to be open to God to be able to look their senators, governors, mayors, and the president in the face and call them to repentance or pray them out of office. Pray for God's conviction to fall. Pray for God's spirit to convict, to reveal what's really behind a lot of the agendas. Or, what are we going to do? Sit back? Sit back and just be angry. Not good enough. Sit back and just let it happen. What a sham. What a shame. That is the height of Christian hypocrisy. It is our hypocrisy to allow our nation to be taken by the dogs. You understand the dogs, right? You look at Revelation, the last couple chapters. Outside are the dogs. You look it up. I'll bring it up later this week. But I'm not willing to let this nation, I'm not willing to be silent. Matter of fact, I feel for my walk in the deep woods the other day and God's conviction in my heart to ramp up everything I'm doing, maybe to begin conferences that deal with specific targeted spiritual warfare, intercession, and prayer that will target presidents and target senators and target, you know, the representatives and target governors, and that will come against the dark presence and seducing presences that are guiding this nation. Listen, the reasons I'm going to tell you, well, there's about six. And one of those is that I still have hope because of the biblical revelation. And we're going to come to that. I'm glad you're here. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, if you are listening tonight, we are on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 6 p.m. to 7. We only got 1 hour in this evening. And then Tuesday night, Survive to Thrive Radio Network. I am the guest host, Steve Quayle, and for Steve Quayle, and again, appreciate the doors that he has opened up. Appreciate some of the notes coming in right now, and I want you to know you can write to us during the show, and we'll try to get to some of those as we go along. I do want to mention, hey, I'm reading a new book this week, a brand new one. I try to read a couple books a week, and I'm a book hog. I love reading books. And so this one's called, and this is a little bit older book, There Is No God, but the no is scratched out. So literally it says, there is a God. And the subtitle, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Changed His Mind, by, well, Antonio Flew. And I think, or Anthony Flew, I think this is a great message because I've always seen an atheist angry and mad, and their whole disposition is there is no God. It's all about no God. Wipe out God. Get rid of God. It's an amazing thing because God has left his imprint on the construct of the human heart, the human conscience, the human, it's in us. Romans 1 tells us that. We're without excuse. And so I see the atheist, not only the angry person, trying to always wipe God away, and they would have to literally wipe creation away and wipe themselves away, and that still wouldn't do it. So I see the atheist as just pure futility, but also tremendous an emptiness. The atheist doesn't know where it all began, where it's going to end, for the world or for themselves. And so I'm reading a book, great book, I think, this week. Might mention more of it next week. There Is No God, but Noah Slashed Out, How the World's Most Notorious Atheist Has Changed His Mind, Anthony Flew. So thank you. I'll take a look at this and tell you more about it later on this week. Hey, listen, all Americans, let's ring the bell. Let's sound the alarm. Let's scream out the flames of freedom here. Watch your babies in the wombs. Watch all the babies in the wombs, you know, partial birth abortion, how they turn the baby around. You know all the story. I'll get into this more later in the week. But watch the babies. Jesus Christ called them Braphos. In the womb, the baby is a living human being from the moment of conception, and Jesus Christ called the baby in the womb, not blob, not fetus, but Braphos, a living human baby in the womb. And so anybody that wants to go up against Christ and wants to turn the doors wide, wide open. Maybe imprint the names Auschwitz and Dachau on those doors. And bring a slaughtering to the babies. Well, here's one man that will pray against you. Here's one man that will speak, moved by the heart and the hand of God. And here's one that's going to not shut up. You think I'm going to sit back and be silent while America is being stolen? Forget it. I've got six reasons I want to go over. They're a little bit tweaked from last night, a little bit as we mentioned them quickly today. Hey, do want to mention that we're having this conference in about 5 days, 6 days. Michigan, March the 27th, Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, I think, till 4. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net, you'll see a banner at the top. You know, it's reading right across there telling you about it. You can click on that, the Michigan Conference. It'll take you to a website. They're not charging anything direct. They're going to take an offering, but they're going to allow me to teach for a total of 6 hours, and that's going to involve a lot of question and answer time. You can take a look at all the content materials, and I've already sent up 14 pages of outline notes that we're going to use. So you'll get those up there, 14 pages, and we'll go through the notes together and maybe spend some time. And I am really praying about and see what God will do concerning we need some nationalists. We need national movement on just in cities and churches, prayer, focused prayer. I mean in the attack mode. I don't mean just some sloppy stuff gathered together where we all feel. I mean the kind of prayer like Acts chapter 4 where the power of God strikes so much that it even shakes buildings. Or when Paul and Silas are in buildings, you know, they're in prison. The power of God brings an earthquake. We need some extraordinary measures in America, and God works in extraordinary ways, but he does it through those who are believers, those who will pray. Read Hebrews chapter 11, how they conquered kingdoms and administered justice by faith. And so I'm off. I'm off to the races. The centrality is Christ, the cross, prayer, and God's will for the salvation, preservation, and the using, the vessel of a nation for the glory of God. Every nation will be judged in the end. There'll be a day when Christ returns for the healing of the nations. We're going to take the gospel to all the nations. So we're going to look at a prophetic, I mean, we're going to look at this incredible, incredible revelation out of the book of Romans concerning nations. But I tell you again, and I warn you before God, that it's not just the physical, not just the battle of flesh and blood. Behind the scenes, I believe, is a raging spiritual war. And listen, the New Age spirits and dark spirits, they are there seeking and seizing control and bringing the operative work of the enemy that leads to. And let me tell you again, when globalism springs into action, as it will spring into action. There's the development of it, but there's going to be a day that it springs into action. Let me tell you right now that it means literally the largest destruction of human lives in the totality of history put together. All of history put together. Yet this globalism, which will sink its teeth into political ideology and law and governing powers, and bring about a military enforcement. Because of the spiritual nature behind it, it will eventually bring, like Judas, Akaldama, the field of blood. Revelation 9, one-third of humanity. In less than 4 years, because of the coming deceptive, deceiving, masqueraded, spiritually conceived globalism. If it occurs right now, eventually, 2 billion or more humans will die in less than 4 years. So it's time to stand up and oppose. In what's left of freedom in the United States of America, we're allowed to stand up and bring opposition to the policies, to the individuals, like John Knox, who prayed against the wicked Queen of Scotland. She feared the prayers of John Knox more than an invading army. So it is time to begin to pray. God, who does lead and put people into power positions of power. He can bring and exalt kings, but he can bring down kings. He can bring down presidents. He can bring down leaders. And I wonder whether or not there are many millions of American Christians that need to repent and really open their hearts to what God's will is for the United States of America. If you're coming to the conference in Michigan, we hope to see you there. It's going to be great. We got one coming in St. Louis, April the 9th and 10th, and one in Nashville, the 23rd and 24th of April this year. Listen, we want to come to Montana. We want to come to California. We want to come to other states. Be praying about hosting a conference. It'll involve deep teaching and important issues, but listen, it will involve an aggressive agenda to come against every conceivable work of the dark side, evidencing itself in politicians, political platforms, political ideology, and it'll be a spiritual fight for the neck of the political seats. Politicians, by the grace and by the providence of God, if you listen, you will either open the door to the hand of God, or you will slam the door in the face of God, and you'll either open the door to freedom and blessing from God, or you'll open the door to a damnation. You'll either aid and abet the damnation of America, which I believe Barack Obama's doing, which I believe Nancy Pelosi's doing, which I believe the voting and the way they've done it, it's all about the damnation. And I'm not ready to be one counted who would aid and abet by silence, by inactivity. No, I'm a believer. And every pastor in the United States of America must and should lead their churches, not on Sunday mornings, 38 seconds of prayer for basic things. But I think Sunday morning should be 45 minutes of sustained intercession, prayer, prayer warfare, targeted prayer for the city, for the nation, for souls, for lives, for the churches, for revival. Specific, detailed praying against demonic powers, demonic works. Asking God, even if necessary, to remove. Absolutely, to remove politicians, if necessary. I pray that people will repent and turn. It's all a spiritual battle, but it shows up in the physical. There's no spiritual battle that does not show itself in the physical. But if all you do is fight with physical words, with signs and banners, that's important. But I think that thousands and thousands that hold up banners and signs that speak about baby killing and about globalist policies and about socialism must include sustained, massive, targeted prayer. Prayer against the dark side. Prayer against the doorways that are being opened to unprecedented levels, works, experiences of the dark side. I want to ask you just to take a moment. How are you doing today? With intensity this week, and I know the intensity is going to get broader and wider throughout this week. I want you to know in the midst of this, God's grace is offered to America. God's grace is offered to you. The Spirit of God summons, no matter who you are, if you don't know God, you're lost. You can claim 1,000 other finite alternative spiritual experiences, and you yourself know that none of it has led you to God. None of it has placed into you the gift of eternal life, of indestructible immortality. If you can't say that you know God, you don't know God. But Christ, who died on the cross, look at him again. You want to talk about spirituality? Look at his. You want to talk about sacrifice? Look at his. You want to talk about love for people? Look at his. Don't miss what occurred there on the cross, because it involves every nation of the world. For you Russians, for the Chinese that are downloading archives here, for the Canadians. You think it's just your nation? You want to sit back, shove God out, and say, this is our nation? Really? Isn't that what we did at the beginning of the human race? Isn't that why death entered in? Isn't that why hellish, ragged edge, you know, life, all of our dysfunction and psychological, you know, twisting and all of our wars and battering and raping and bloodshed and Cain is overcome by the encroaching nature of the sin code, and he kills and slaughters his brother and buries him. Goes on to this very day, doesn't it? I think it's time to pray against all of the lies, all of the deceit, all of the backroom, you know, the real motivations. You know, the people that are putting the money behind the politicians. The globalists. Those who are luciferic to the core. It's time for California Christians and the rest of us in the United States to mount up massive, massive intercession, warfare prayer, using the authority of Christ to pray against Bohemian Grove as a massive high place that has drawn our leaders and leaders from around the world to a ritual of human sacrifice that draws demonic powers and sends those powers on them to influence them. I believe Bohemian Grove and the rituals and the ritual release of demonic power has brought influence in the United States of America. I'm not willing to sit back. I don't know about you. I pray that as God speaks to your heart, the flames of freedom that God and God alone brings in Christ to individual hearts, to families. Remember Cornelius and his family, the whole household that gets saved. Remember the jailer and his immediate family, everybody gets saved. Remember Whitfield and the Wesleys and the revivals that struck England, and sociologists said that because of those, it saved England from social collapse. I believe God is fierce. I believe God is fierce with grace, fierce with his power. And I'm going to tell you one of the reasons out of six why the massive Roman Empire was ultimately destroyed. You ready for the 6 points again? I know some of you may have listened last night, but I want to go over these for just thousands of others and for those who will download. And I do pray that God, by his providence, can just simply use this. And I pray that God will help me become broader and wider and better in all that we're doing. I believe that prayers can affect nations. I can look at history and see how God's grace changed nations and turned politicians and led people to real righteousness and real grace and biblically defined goodness and how they could stand against biblically defined radical evil. You see, if you don't know what the difference between good and evil, you have been brought down under the murky waters. You need to raise your hand out of those dark, murky waters and say, God, save me. Christ, save me. Pull me out so you can know the difference. Believers in Christ, you read the book of Hebrews, the first five chapters, you're going to read about how the constant use of the Word of God, the Grotha, the writings, this supernatural, infallible revelation. God speaks. God is alive, literally, in the words. That's why there's power. There's life. For those doing the recon, for those doing the political recon, the spiritual, luciferic recon, I can only tell you that God's providence is broader than your hidden recon. May God literally visit you, as he did Saul of Tarsus. And if you don't know what that's all about, go to the book of Acts, Google Saul of Tarsus if you want to. But find out what happened to someone that hated the cause of God, would slam the doors in the face of God for his whole people, for anyone, until God slammed him to the ground. Something happened to Saul of Tarsus. And that one single story, Saul of Tarsus. You see, a heart and life could see. You know, listen, he thought he had spirituality. He thought he had religion. It was man-made. It was self-oriented. It was self-righteousness. It was never of God. Never of God. It's that kind of religion that was used to crucify Christ, to kill God on a cross. But it's the cross that's superabounding in its grace over that kind of radical hate. See, that kind of radical hate was so fierce with the need to rid its society of individuals, human beings that believed in Jesus, believed in Christ, believed in the kingdom of God. Oh, you know the Caesars, you know Nero, you know the Caesars, you know the emperors of Rome. Man, that Senate, they feared the rise of hundreds of thousands of Romans turning to Christ as Christ was triumphing over all the old pagan belief systems, as lives were being changed. They decided to fight. They decided to slaughter the believers in Christ, their own Roman citizens, anyone who would find the living Christ. They would take these fellow citizens and drag them off to the arena. They would wrap them in dog skins and throw them to animals. They would put them upside down with pitch on them, on crosses, and burn them and light the night skies. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyr? Have you read one of the sequels called By Their Blood? You ever wonder why anyone would want to simply slaughter and kill a human being that says, I believe in the love of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive. I believe Christ has come into my life. He is my Lord. And so when they brought Polycarp, disciple, I believe, of Irenaeus, when they brought Polycarp to the Colosseum, to the throngs of many, to the Emperor of Rome, when they declared that he should take a pinch of incense, throw it in the fire, let the fire puff up, and declare the Emperor of Rome God, Lord. You know, the emperor worship. You know, the ultimate expression of the sin nature is to try to declare yourself God. That's what the fallen cherub's all about. That's what this whole war is all about. That's what sin is all about. So I don't need God. Well, really? Really? You don't need God? When your heart gives out and you die and your body stiffens and then liquefies and then decays and eventually turns to dust. When you're erased from the visible history on this side of the fence, when your spirit, when you leave your body, you don't need God? Where did you come from? Where are you going? And in the midst of this, all the while, God, whether you've ever acknowledged him or not, is calling out to you, summoning you. The words of Jesus are very clear. It's a great part of the invitation of God. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I would say that's true of Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama, that I stand now totally, absolutely opposed. I'm praying that God convict their hearts and, if necessary, remove them. I'm praying and I will fight and pray for America for six reasons. Can I give them to you? Number one, for those, even if you're not a believer in Christ, understand my passion. Romans 16, the last few verses, talk about, well, if you read there, you're going to find out that it speaks about prophetic writings. Yes, ancient prophetic writings. You're going to find out that it talks about the gospel, which is the good news of God, this good news of God. That it talks about the command of the eternal God. That all nations, all that God arranged during the days of the prophets, all of the massive prophetic revelation that is given in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, all of this massive communication from God, you know what it's about? It's about God caring about nations. Can I read it to you? This is out of the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 25, on. And let me just read living words of God to you. Listen, now to him, referring to Christ, now to Christ who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. I can guarantee you right now that nations will obey the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now operative in lives. Nations will be guided in their ideology, their vision, their laws. Nations will be guided in all of that, either by the prince of the power of the air, this domain, this ruling presence around. Either that's going to happen. Either that's going to happen, or we're going to open our hearts to the God of heaven. So I read a question that a friend sends in. Hi, Russ. The question is, what does the Lord owe Americans? Absolutely nothing. He doesn't owe us. The cross defines God's grace. The cross defines the fact that God wills. You can read about it. See, if you're a great prayer warrior and praying in the will of God, if you read what it says in Timothy chapter 2, that we are to pray for the nation, we're to pray for the kings and those in authority, in the context of salvation, it has everything to do with how a nation will go. And in that context, read it, it says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, pos anthropos, all humanity to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So I agree. Nations can open the door to the dark side. Nations can slam the door like a life. An individual can go out and slam the door on God, slam the door on Christ, slam the door on those who've tried to reach him, get into their drugs, get into their alcohol, get into their demons, get into their, you know, fake spiritualities, ruin their life, become dysfunctional, sin eating your life, you reap what you sow, and you lose your soul in the end. God doesn't owe us anything. But God willed the salvation of every single human being. Jesus stood outside of Israel and he literally wept. He cried out, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you together. He would have embraced them, man. He would have embraced them, saved them, changed them, guarded them, protected them. But he says this, but you willed, Thelema, you willed not. So your house is left to you desolate. That's true individually. Reject God, reject Christ, reject God's message. Come up with whatever fancy personal substitute you want to come up with. Doesn't make any difference. There's a thousand of them. You're the one that loses. Your physical personal life, your eternal life is left to you desolate. America, are you willing to slam the door completely on God? Are you willing to let it all go? Are you willing to let everything go? and just say, well, let's let God judge America. You know what? Why don't we let God be the judge? You know, when Christians say, let's let God judge America, let me ask you a question. Do you win any souls to Christ? Do you pray for this nation? Do you do anything to see God's... See, God wants to save a nation. God wants to save a nation. That's the will of God. God commands believers, pray for the nation, pray for the leadership, pray with fierce, fierce prayers, because this is good and it pleases God, our Savior. Pray against the corrupted banking system. Pray against the exposure of Luciferic-oriented wealthy elite. Pray against them. Pray that God... Listen, do you know how to pray? Do you know how to see a nation infected by the manifest presence and power of God? The dark side, they know how to do rituals. They know how to summon powers. They know how to infect people. They know how to influence people. Are you and I as believers in Christ going to just sit on our lazy, spiritually carnal duffs and do nothing? And do nothing? I'm not. I pray God gives me the energy of Daniel. I pray God gives me the energy of Philip, Acts chapter 8. I pray God gives me the fierce prayer power of someone like John Knox. I intend to grow broader, stronger, wider. I intend to see how much of heaven I can get down here to strike this nation. That's what grace is all about. Grace, God didn't come to seek the righteous. He came to seek sinners, American sinners, Russian sinners. He's come to seek, you know, English sinners and German sinners and Chinese lost sinners, hell-bound sinners. What are you going to do? Is let it all go to hell? Did you know that God doesn't clap his hands over hell? God's not going to do some wonderful dance over hell. If you ever read in the prophets in the book of Ezekiel, God says through the prophet himself, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. Right now, God would rather that America turn back totally to God, that politicians, that leaders, that the wealthy, that corporations, those that are raping people, those that are raping the earth, those that are opening the door to Luciferic influence. It's time to repent, time to turn your heart and life to God, time to be rescued. And it's going to take believers that understand the grace of God, the power of God, the will of God to be engaged. You know what? To the last man. Until America would be dragged to hell itself. You ever read that one phrase? That one little thing I just want you to hear it. Let others have a chapel beneath an ivory-covered bell, but let me run a rescue ship 1 foot away from hell. So if America's a foot away from hell, I would rather do all that I can to the last man, to the last person, for the salvation of souls, for the destruction of satanic works. You ever read, listen, believers, 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's why he came. Destroy the devil's work. Let me read to you again real quick here. In Romans 16, the will of God by the centrality of the gospel, because of prophetic writings, because it's been revealed now, and by the command of the eternal God, all nations to believe on Christ, to obey God. And so that is the agenda of the believer. Help the nation turn to Christ, to turn to God. And that's not impossible. I would rather try and see 10 million turn and then watch it go down in flames, then sit back, do nothing, and watch it all go to the dogs. While I would be an unfaithful, shame-filled, Laodicean, what kind of Christian lets their own family go to hell? What kind of Christian lets their neighborhood, their city, go to hell? When Jesus wept for Jerusalem. Any Christians have emotion for lost souls? God is concerned about nations. You know what? We've gone so far into this today. We're almost completely out of time. I gave you 1 out of 6 tonight. You might want to read and memorize Romans 16, 25, 26, 27. It's all about the gospel, all about God's grace among sinning people, sinning politicians, sinning nations. Yes, the great, so-called great empire of Rome wasn't great in the good sense. It was big. It was powerful. Pax Roma, you know, educational centers, mighty military. Rome, perverted in its sexual decadence. You know, the senators there, they had little boys. They had boys for their sexual little partners. They had the prostitutes, the pucatoriums, the blood cults of Bacchus, the emperor worship, and the critical mass through the mentality, through the spirituality, through the political ideology, through the laws to attack Christendom. So much so that one of the emperors of Rome had a coin struck that said, "The Christian religion is dead." They thought they did so much to destroy the body of Christ. Instead, the body of Christ broadened, grew, went every which way. And guess what? Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. I believe originally that would have been a reference to Rome and Satan's his infusing his will into the political ideology, law, mentality, the spirituality of the nation. And for the sake of the body of Christ and the mission of God to the world, I believe God brought down the Roman Empire. It's one of the reasons. Oh, the secular historians will talk about it, decadence and their military and all the nations around that they've harmed eventually came back down on them. Most refer to the decadence, and I agree that does bring down any person and any nation. But I believe the Bible, I believe God, I believe the God of peace did crush Satan's throne and activity through Rome. I pray that you know Christ. I pray that if you're a believer in Christ, you will catch the fire of God in his passion to save nations. Does he owe us anything? No. But grace brings the call of God. Paul talks about, Saul of Tarsus, the angry man, talks about the unlimited patience of God. Right now, though, we must fight. We must fight against what opposes God, what will damn our nation, and what will eventually bring massive destruction. I hope you're listening tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, Monday night. We'll see you Tuesday night at 7 p.m., Survive to Thrive Radio Network. Back on Wednesday, back on Friday, and then, my friends, up in Michigan, the 27th, good night and God bless.